Good morning. It's great to see you again this morning. We've already been really richly taught from our main session on communication and richly convicted as well. I'm going to guess if you're like me in your marriage. This breakout is focused around renewing your first love, which high school history teacher stands in front of you by degree. So I have some activities planned to hopefully make this as interactive and connecting time as possible. Then I also hopefully have some planned time at the end of this session. Renewing your first love. When I was given this task and what you signed up for, and some of you basically, some of you maybe signed up yourself. Some of you maybe signed your spouse up and they didn't know. And you maybe didn't even talk about it. You just chose some ones. You're like, oh, this sounds like a good one. So here's what you did sign up for before I get into my objectives. Okay. Here's what you signed up for. You signed up for, we all need renewal. Our marriages can become routine. Our freshness can fade. And the beauty of commitment can shift to emotionless duty. Just as God calls us to continually renew our love for Him, He calls us to remember and renew our love for our spouse. Be challenged to renewal in this breakout. So, be challenged. As a teacher, I love a challenge. So here is what I hope to challenge you in, and here's what I hope to accomplish by the time you walk out and head to your next breakout. We're going to talk about the word renewal, what it is, and it's been talked about a little bit last night. It was talked a little bit about what it, more so what it wasn't this morning, if you were paying attention to Brother Caleb, how it looks in our relationship to Christ, how it looks in our marriage. And then I'm a practical person. I love scripture. I love ideas. I love it even more when I can put it into practice, okay? Because otherwise it just stays ideas. So I love kind of taking it from like the head to the heart to the hands piece. That's my goal today. All right. When I looked this up, this word up in good old Webster's, here's what it said. It said, to begin to take up again as an acquaintance, a conversation, to make effective for an additional period, or to restore or replenish. Okay, renewal. You just think of that word renewal. First thoughts are, I have to renew my license, right? I need to go to the DMV for a renewal, right? I am trying to take up again or make effective for an additional period. A magazine subscription. You renew a magazine subscription. Gym membership. There's a lot of things you can renew, right? Generally, when we renew something, it's a positive thing. I'm renewing a magazine I enjoy reading. I'm renewing my license because I want to drive legally. The gym membership, maybe that's the one that's up in the air there. But it's something that you're committing to. You're going towards it, right? I don't renew a magazine I don't enjoy or just gets recycled anymore, right? Why renew it if I'm not reading it? So it's something I'm going towards. It's generally something positive I enjoy, I like, I'm committed to. I have a college roommate out in this area. Right? So I get to renew my relationship with her. We don't see each other, but every couple of years when our paths thankfully cross. As an acquaintance, a conversation, we get to pick back up, right? Not start again, as Caleb mentioned this morning. Not repeat, but continue. Go forward. Make effective for an additional period. Okay, let's take that into context then. With the two pieces in the description of what you signed up for today of two of the most important relationships we'll have here on earth and in heaven. And that's first and foremost with Christ and second with our spouse. Okay. So right now in that breakout section there, let's make yourself a T-chart. Thinking, what in the world is a T-chart? Okay, just something simple like that. Make yourself a T-chart. Breakout 2's notes are on page, if you joined us late, page 23, okay? Let's first talk about what renewal with Christ looks like, okay? So on the left-hand side of your T-chart, I want you to, at the very top, to just write the word repent. You can make a fancy little cross. If you're a doodler, figure it out. Okay? And right now, for the next few minutes, I want you to write down those first emotions or first thoughts of when you repented and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Each of you, both spouses individually, on the left-hand side there, what are some of your first thoughts? And the beauty of this is some of you, maybe in this room, have been a believer for 1 to 5 years. Some of you in here, by the wrinkles in the hair, have been it for a long time. Okay? What were some of those first thoughts, first emotions when you first repented? Go ahead and start writing and jotting those down on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, then, as you have grown, as life has come upon you, what now would you say renewal in Christ looks like to you personally? Okay, so on the right-hand side, title this part of the T-chart, Renewal in Christ. And same activity. If you were in charge of this conference and had to create some ideas based upon renewal in Christ, what are some of the first thoughts and emotions that you would write down? Today, your relationship with Christ and renewing in Christ looks like what? Okay, write some thoughts or emotions down over here. Okay. Sharing out. Would anybody care to share? All of you are thinking, oh, she's a teacher. She's going to make us share. Only willingly. I'm not going to twist your arm. There's no bonus points or anything. But oftentimes we learn best among each other. And so, repenting. What were some of your first thoughts when you first repented that you don't mind sharing? It can be a word, a phrase. Relief. Okay. What else? Anxiety. An anxiousness, a little bit. Yeah. What else? Okay. Yes. A weightiness, a little bit, like with a commitment. Yes. Okay. What else? Go ahead. Okay. A redirection, a little bit. Okay. I like. And almost like a if I'm hearing you accurately, a new purpose. Any other thoughts, emotions, freedom? Hope. Great. What else? Anything else? I'm a teacher, but I can also be a student as well. I should be. One of my first things I remember thinking is, this sounds too good to be true. Right? Too good to be true. An awe with the too good to be true piece. Great list. Any other thoughts or emotions that you feel you had on your list that's maybe not captured up here? Yes. Okay. So like a moral compass almost. Yes. Okay. Didn't know what you're getting into. That's a good one. Very true, right? Let's go on to how you would describe renewal in Christ today. somebody were to ask you that, a believer walks up, you grab a cup of coffee with someone, and you say, how are you getting renewed in Christ? What would you say today? What does that look like? Who cares to share? Go ahead, Quinn. Okay. Reflection, speak to that a little bit more. I think I know where you're headed, but. Okay. The piece here, too, that I like about reflection, in order to reflect, you have to think back to where you've come and on where you are, okay? That's a key piece of this breakout right now. We'll get there when we can kind of pick up our marriage piece again here. What else can I put as far as renewal in Christ? Okay, yes. There's a discernment piece to listen. Go ahead. Okay, okay. A prioritization piece, if that's one, okay. Time. And prioritizing. What else does renewal in Christ look like today to each of us? Go ahead. Okay. So dependence on God versus the individualistic culture. I can do it myself. I don't need others. I don't need someone, some deity. What else does renewal in Christ look like? Inspiration. Okay, speak to that a little bit more. What does that look like for yourself? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Motivation, absolutely. Anything else to add to this right-hand side? Okay. We found the pearl. We found the motive, the purpose right here. That's great. Anything else to add to this right-hand side? I'm going to add one. Renewal in Christ is a journey. It is not a one and done. Is that true? In order to kind of think about renewal, we have to step back and see where some of these emotions, some of our first feelings were, and think of, regardless of how many years, what life has thrown at us, where we are now, and how you would describe that, okay? There's a lot of great things up here. In order to get ready for today, I kind of did a little poll among some of my peers and some of my mentors back in Illinois to see what they would say to answer these questions and to get some redirection. A lot of them gave me some great things. So what they said on the left is the same person who said it on their right. Some things that came up were they were relieved, right? They were excited. One person said, though, a little nervous. There's that anxiousness like, what am I doing? I don't know what this means, but I'm excited. I'm nervous. An apprehension and anxiousness, a lightness, freedom. Thankfulness, joy, security, right? This one was interesting from a friend. Peace, but self-focused. And you'll notice that on the right-hand side, I asked the same questions. Emotions or thoughts on renewal in Christ? And what would that look like in their life? So these would be peers of mine, certain age bracket. We won't name which age bracket that is. But then also mentors, sisters who have also done life a lot longer and have much more wisdom that I look up to greatly and respect. Constant renewal, a regeneration. I like down here, this one girlfriend said renovating. You know, if you're a DIYer in here, you totally understand that term, right? Brother Matt last night gave us a great picture of that. Some of us in that room were like, oh, when we saw that picture, and some of us were like, yes, let's do this. Choosing better. I like that one. I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I can go forward in that. Learn something new or didn't realize. Return to those first feelings. See, here's what happened. My friends and my mentors didn't realize the crux of this. I literally texted and emailed to these two questions and just said, give me your first gut reaction. And yet, a lot of these emotions and so forth are also mirrored up here. And you're at a marriage conference, kind of knowing where the direction of this breakout probably is going to land. Okay, so I want us to think back. I want us to reflect those first emotions in Christ, what you would now say renewal in Christ looks like. And let's set that relationship, that godly, important, heavenly relationship aside, and let's do it for our spouse. So make another T-chart. Let's see, I'm not going to be able to erase. It's probably all in time. But let's do another T-chart, and let's do you can say, let's do first engaged, but this is more of like a time frame, okay? First emotions for spouse. Maybe put spouse on the left as a word, okay? And right now, take a few minutes on the left, and each of you individually write down what were some of those first emotions, first thoughts when you got the proposal, once you were publicly engaged, what that looked like for your spouse. Go ahead. For us, but towards your spouse, if that makes sense. For yourself, but towards your spouse. And then on the right-hand side, what does marriage look like today for you? What are some of the emotions, thoughts, appreciation? When you would think of marriage today, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 25, 40, whatever the Lord has blessed you and your spouse with in marriage, how would you describe marriage today? What does that look like for you? Emotions, thoughts? Okay, before I ask for a room of volunteering, I want you to turn toward your spouse. They're the first person that needs to hear these emotions and thoughts. And then if you're willing to share some, I do want us to use that as a group time. So take a few minutes right now, share some of your first emotions towards your spouse, and then how you would describe marriage today looking like, and what you appreciate about that. Go ahead. First engaged, who doesn't mind sharing? What were some emotions or thoughts when you were first engaged? anxiousness, like, right? Very much, like, oh my goodness. Excited? Surely someone has it. Yeah, okay. Do you see, aren't these interesting? And any other list of emotions, you'll notice, especially in that wheel of emotions Caleb gave, lots of times these two aren't juxtapositioned together. But isn't that beautiful how our emotions in the right frame in a godly, healthy relationship, we can be anxious and nervous about what we're about to do, but also excited about what we're about to do. Okay, what are there some emotions and thoughts? Oh, bless your heart. Okay. Rose-colored glasses. Yes. Or I'm going to say marriage is easy. Is that a good okay. It can't be that hard. What else? A commitment. It is a commitment. What else? Thankfulness. Anything else? Okay. A visioning together, right? Looking ahead. What's our future like? Sure. Almost a little future casting. And that future casting is very exciting. It's also very nerve-wracking. Absolutely. What else? I told Caleb at the end of last night, for recording's sake, a participant said valued and sought after. I told Caleb at the end of last night, I said, so I did this marriage activity and you might not like it because I know some engagements, those first emotions, sometimes they are hard and you're kind of stuck in that discernment piece and you're like, oh, I don't know, that type of thing. But valued and sought after who you are, right? We each didn't say yes to our spouse thinking, okay, in 10 years, my project, they are going to be exactly like, you know, our sin nature maybe says that for our spouse, but then when we come back around to our own heart, we don't want that, right? We'll get to that in a little bit here. But valued and sought after for who we are. That is a beautiful piece of that reaching that Matt illustrated last night with gospel and that picture of the Sistine Chapel, right? Our marriage and who we are is a great reflection of that gospel image of God reaching us when we were probably not very lovable, right? We were not perfect in any shape, and yet we felt value and sought after. That is beautiful. Any other first engage emotions here you want to share? Apprehension, absolutely. Yeah. Exactly, exactly. There's a weight. It's a big decision. It should not be taken lightly. Very much so. Apprehension. Let's go on now. Let's speak into marriage today. What are some emotions and thoughts of how you would describe marriage today for yourself and what it means? What's that? Ah. Okay. What else? Appreciation or thankfulness often falls on this side, obviously, but a deep appreciation only happens over time, only happens when life's, you know, hard and ugly get thrown at us in a marriage commitment relationship, and to deal and to struggle and to learn together. Great. What else today? Go ahead. Okay, so sure, awareness of all areas is what I'm going to say because that's a beautiful transition into my next area. Awareness of all areas of marriage, not just commitment. Is that what I'm hearing accurately? Not just duty. I'll use that word that you used. Well, okay. Yeah. Gifting of spouses. I like that. Because what you learned, who they were and maybe were attracted to and appreciated when you were first engaged, you've seen a whole nother person grow after X amount of years and their gifting and who they are and their personality and how they serve others, not just yourself as a spouse, children, grandchildren, community. That's a beautiful piece of seeing that growth in a person. What else could you put over here on how you would describe marriage? It is busy. It is not just you. Busy. It is busy. It's fulfilling in the busy. Potentially. What else? Okay, compromise. I like that one. There's a give and take, right? Whether it's I was wrong and you were right this time. The next time I was, right? A humility in the compromise. Good. Anything else to add to this list here? Safety. Yeah. Faithfulness. One gentleman, older gentleman last night said it beautiful. He said, there's a comfortableness, right? After X amount of years, you're comfortable. You're not impressing or hoping they like or wondering what they think. You know what they think, right? Maybe a little too much. But there's just a comfortableness. You're safe in your own skin, right? You are valued and sought after for who you are. That's a beauty piece of this. What happens, and I'll go on for time's sake, because I do want you to have some connection time here at the end. Oftentimes, there's three healthy areas we consider in a marriage. There's commitment, there's emotional intimacy, passion. I'm going to have you draw something here for you note takers in here in a minute, so just hang with me here. All three of these aspects are interrelated in a marriage, okay? Deepening our love requires addressing all of these areas. Each aspect of love builds on the other. Here's what that triangle looks like. So if you are a note taker, and actually I want all of us, whether you are or not, to draw just a triangle. And at the tip top on the left-hand side, just write the word emotional intimacy, okay? Now the word intimacy is in there. So this is not our marriage bed piece yet, okay? This is what we would consider affection and friendship. This is, I want to be with my spouse. I get to be with my spouse. I want to learn about my spouse. Okay. I would choose my spouse over fill in the blank. That's the affection and friendship. That's the emotional intimacy. That's when I have a really bad day and I really want to share and out loud process, I'm going to go to my spouse. Okay. We have this commitment piece at the very bottom. Marriage is often one of the biggest earthly covenants that scripture calls us to as far as earthly relationships. A Christ-like self-sacrificial love. Those rose-colored glasses, right? You could go back and help disciple a couple and tell them, here's what marriage is going to be. It's self-sacrificing. When Christ said, I need husbands to be like me, and wives, I need you to submit like me, that's that commitment he's speaking of. Self-sacrificial love. Again, and again and again. Okay. The other piece of the triangle is passion. Okay. This is not just the act of sexual intimacy, although that's a piece of it clearly, but it encompasses heart, soul, mind, and body. Okay. It is the curiosity, the learning, the leaning towards peace of your marriage, the wanting to progress your marriage and not just stay stagnant. That's been mentioned a couple times here. It's not just the duty piece, okay? And you'll notice this triangle is a beautiful, equally balanced triangle, isn't it? Because it's a graphic on a slide. But at any one time, a lot of therapists and researchers would say this triangle is going to shift, okay? So for instance, when you were first engaged, this triangle was way off balance one direction, right? It was probably balanced towards this one right here, okay? Or this one, learning. We loved to be together. We stayed up late talking. We were together all the time, right? The exponential curve of those, that first year of engagement and newly married, I mean, you are learning at a huge rate. And then the right kind of, right? But that triangle kind of flips and goes more towards commitment or more towards emotional intimacy. That comfortableness that older gentleman last night talked about is a beautiful illustration of that. Just, we like to be together. We like to do things together. We have a greater appreciation for each other. A newly married couple cannot yet possibly, with rose-colored glasses, understand commitment yet, right? 1 year in, commitment looks very different than 45 years in. So over time, different seasons of marriage, right? Your triangle is going to be a little bit different balanced. And it should be. After the birth of a child, your passion is probably going to look a little different than when you were newly married. A long-term illness, your triangle is going to look a little different than when you were first married. And it should, okay? Recognizing that, being aware of that, is a key piece to this. So right now, I just want you individually put a smiley face by where you think your strongest area of this triangle is. Okay, smiley face by, whether commitment, emotional intimacy, or passion. Which one is the strongest in your marriage? Each spouse do this. And there's no right or wrong. And then also put a star by the area that maybe needs to be strengthened a little bit. Smiley face by the one that you feel like is your strength right now in your marriage, and star by the one you feel like maybe needs to be strengthened. I'm not going to have you share this out, so don't freak out. Okay, go ahead and compare it with your spouse. Anybody nail it? Anybody have the exact same answer as any couples? Come on. There you go. Good for you. Your strength and your weakness, you kind of know each other well. Good for you. Last triangle I'm going to show you, whether you take notes or not is up to you. This is the Katie Miller version. The last triangle was a researcher by the name of Sternberg. Excuse me. The Katie Miller version is a lot simpler. Because when I look at my marriage with my spouse, I realize oftentimes I set my spouse up for failure. All of us want to succeed. We want to feel like we are valued for who we are and we're doing our best. But if I don't realize first and foremost, I need God every single day and I need to be renewed first and foremost through Him, instead of turning towards my spouse, I cannot expect my spouse to be God. Okay, my spouse should not be God in my life. So I appreciated the attributes of dependence and trust and so forth. So please hear me accurately here. My renewal needs daily needs to be on God first and foremost, because that turns me towards my spouse in a healthy way. And same for my spouse. My spouse is also a sinner saved by grace, and he needs daily renewal from God first and foremost. Because if he turns towards me, he is setting myself up for failure. Daily renewal in God, whether that looks like offering grace because it's undeserved, offering forgiveness when not asked. Caleb gave great examples of communication this morning. That is daily renewal in God first, because it turns me towards my spouse in a healthy way. The reality is, oftentimes, this quote here says, our marriages become safer, healthier, happier when we stop expecting our spouses to be God and to do what only He can do. And often this marriage book, Cherished by Gary Thomas, is upstairs. Holiness according to the Bible is often demonstrated by how patient we are with the lack of holiness in others. First and foremost, I need to look at my heart. I need to examine that daily renewal. A second, if we go back, of myself to God before I start accusing and pointing and thinking and wanting my spouse to constantly solve things for me. Okay. Where is my dependence first and foremost? How patient am I with the unholiness in others? And what does that lead to? Going back, hopefully in this breakout, thinking of your first emotions in Christ, when you first repented and where you've come as a believer, and then going back for those first emotions of marriage, engagement, first year married, and where you've come in your marriage should hopefully re-envision, help you purpose, invigorate yourself in your marriage and where you've come. The last few minutes then, maybe just jot down a couple keywords here. This will be great either homework for the next date night. We like to give homework at this marriage conference. Just some great talking prompts, okay? When renewal was needed in your marriage, describe a time and how did you know that? Or think about that. Be able to share these ideas with your spouse. And maybe both of you are thinking the exact same thing right now and you know exactly. So when was a time when renewal was needed in your marriage? How did you know, and compare your thoughts with that, your spouse? When have you most felt renewed in your marriage? This is an interesting one, because what I also have down here is when I look at couples or I see marriages and so forth, and I'm always like, wow, they're amazing getaway vacation. That's what I need to renew my marriage. Yes, maybe so. But I guarantee you some of those small steps that were talked about last night and today are going to be way more advantageous for your marriage than a getaway to a tropical location for a week. Don't get me wrong. A getaway to a tropical location from time to time is definitely needed to set yourself aside. Also, what is a good time of day to connect and when is not a good time of day to connect? This is my spouse's a nice constant tension, because his time to connect is when he commutes back and forth from the office. And that's a terrible time for me to connect because I'm in the middle of making dinner, or getting kids wrangled, or like getting ready to go out the door for church. So sometimes it's not about when a good time is, it's about when a good time isn't, and then you kind of process of eliminate. But that connecting time is renewal time. It's a daily, when can we just like quickly connect, whether it's physical touch, words of affirmation, you name it. And then the last one, what renews yourself in your marriage? The comparison game is huge. Think about each of your individual marriages sitting here in these benches and figure out a time together. What does that look like for renewal in our marriage? What can we make happen? What can we purposefully do? Okay? Thank you so much for your attention. Hopefully I'll leave this slide up as you guys exit, but my goal here today, this morning, was to kind of have you think of those first emotions, not just first and foremost with Christ, but also with your marriage. Be thankful for where you've come. Be thankful how you've grown, not just in your relationship with Christ, but where you've grown in your marriage, okay? Renewing your first love. It's an important thing to look back to, but only because you need to go forward from. Okay, thank you so much.